Hi, everyone. I know you've been hearing me talk about how much I enjoy BritBox. It's the streaming home of the best British TV, with exclusive mysteries, crime dramas, documentaries, and more. I especially enjoy mysteries like Agatha Christie's Poirot and Father Brown. I just enjoyed his story, The Thief, His Wife, and the Canoe. Great story. My daughter has always been a huge Cary Grant fan, and BritBox has a new original called Archie, which stars Jason Isaacs as Archie Leach, the man who became Cary Grant. This is the first time that his story has been told in collaboration with Grant's daughter Jennifer Grant and his ex-wife Diane Cannon. Story and cast all from BritBox, and it's top-notch entertainment, and only on BritBox. Sign up for BritBox today to stream Archie and other fan favorites from any device. I have a special limited-time offer for my U.S. and Canadian fans. Get 50% off your first month when you sign up for a monthly plan, but only if you go to BritBox.com and use my promo code 1001STORIES at checkout. That's 1001STORIES at checkout. Don't wait. Get 50% off your first month. Use promo code 1001STORIES at BritBox.com. You'll be glad you did.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to Radio Days, when radio is king, and the adventures of Sam Spade, Detective. Sam Spade Detective was a radio series based loosely on the private detective character Sam Spade, created by writer Dashiell Hammett for his legendary Bogart movie, The Maltese Falcon. The show gave us 270 episodes between 1946 and 1951 and was one of the most popular detective shows on radio. The series starred Howard Duff as Sam Spade and Lurene Tuttle as his secretary, Effie. The series was largely overseen by producer-writer William Speer. In 1947, scriptwriters Jason James and Bob Tallman received Edgar Awards for Best Radio Drama from the Mystery Writers of America. Before the series, Sam Spade had been played in radio adaptations of The Maltese Falcon by both Edward G. Robinson in the 1943 Lux Radio Theater production and by Humphrey Bogart in a 1946 Academy Award Theater production, both on CBS. We'll be including the Humphrey Bogart version of The Maltese Falcon in an upcoming show. In our first episode, titled The Flashlight Diamond Caper, Sam Spade is hired to guard a valuable necklace at his client's son's wedding, but not the groom, who ends up getting murdered. The second episode, titled The Missing News Hawk Caper, finds a newspaper owner hiring Spade to find a missing reporter who has been trying to uncover some wrongdoings at a fur company.
Wild Root Cream Oil, again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Sam Spade, Detective Agency, good evening.
That sounds funny in dialect. Good evening to you, and happy 4th of July, Bernadine Hemp.
Oh, Mr. Spade, what was the capper?
Don't you mean caper?
No, the capper. The high point of the caper. The climax, the crescendo, the pinafore.
Now, that's better. For a minute, I was afraid you were learning English.
Oh, no. I'm studying Spanish. Soy infeliz que inicia...
Yeah. Mucho interesting.
Gracias. Shall I go home now?
No, mal suerte. There's a little matter of murder in two languages, neither of which is Spanish, so stay where you are. I'll be right down to dictate my report on the Rushlight Diamond Caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Speer, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade. Presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. Listen, men, to this holiday tip on good grooming. To help spark up your whole appearance, first be sure that your hair is well-groomed. Be sure it's groomed with popular Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Wild Root Cream Oil grooms your hair neatly and naturally, the way you like it, the way she likes it. Wild Root Cream Oil also relieves annoying dryness, removes loose, ugly dandruff. So look your best all the time by sprucing up right with Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. And now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Date, July 4, 1948, to Mrs. May Rushlight, 21A, Granite Court. From Samuel Spade, license number 17596. Subject, the Rushlight Diamond. Dear Mrs. Rushlight, it was the kind of nice, relaxing assignment that comes my way just often enough to remind me that gumshoeing can be respectable. There was an air of quiet elegance about 21A, Granite Court, and about the butler who answered the door. He took in my rented gray topper and doeskin gloves, nodded approvingly at my wing collar, watered silk ascot, pearl gray waistcoat, morning coat, pinstripe trousers, and my spats with the mother-of-pearl buttons, and asked me if I were a florist. I set him to rights, and he led me up a flight of stairs to the early A.M. annex of your morning room.
Mr. Samuel Spade.
You're just on time, Mr. Spade. Mrs. Rushlight will be pleased. I'm Nancy Ward, Mrs. Rushlight's social secretary, and if you don't think that's tough to say, try it.
Mrs. Rushlight's social... Oh, what's tough about that?
You'll do. Definitely you'll do.
Shall we dance?
I will dance at her wedding. But don't get me wrong, I'm not secretly in love with Ralph Rushlight, and the bride is lovely. Just hate to see all that money going down the drain.
Is there anything else you think I should know?
You know what your job is. You're supposed to guard the wedding presents. That's simple because it's nothing but a lot of cheap silver. And stay away from the champagne. It's non-vintage. The food will be foul. The guests are the most dismal aggregation ever assembled.
Sounds like a lovely party.
I arranged the whole thing. I told you she's a lovely bride.
What'd she ever do to you?
I'd rather not say. I don't want to sound bitter. This way, Mr. Spade. The old hat. Mrs. Rushlight will see you now.
Thank you, Florence Nightingale.
Nancy? Oh.
This is it, darling.
Mr. Spade, come over here, young man, so I can get a better look at you.
How's this?
It's good. Turn around. Yes, you'll do. That'll be all, Nancy.
Couldn't I be finishing up these place cards while you talk?
Take them with you. Do them outside.
Very well.
Nosy girl.
But nice. Nice nose.
Oh, you too, eh? Well, I agree. That's why I'm marrying off my nephew to that wretched girl, Lotta Van Eyck. Have you ever seen Bugs Bunny, Mr. Spade?
You don't mean the...
They protrude.
The ears?
No, the teeth.
Oh.
As my late husband used to say of her mother, she could eat a tomato through a tennis racket.
Oh.
There's only one thing that'll prevent this wedding from being an utter disaster. She doesn't understand much English.
Uh-huh. Well, what's the matter with your nephew?
A great deal, but it doesn't show. Suffice it to say, he has criminal tendencies and the mentality of a snail.
Mrs. Rushlight, I don't like to seem forward, but why are you telling me all this?
Oh, you're supposed to mingle with the guests. You'll need some conversation. Now, as to your assignment... The bride, being what she is, the wedding presents are hardly worth guarding except for one. Ironically enough, it's from me.
What is it, a machine gun?
Oh, that's good. Oh, excuse me, I must write that down.
And then tear it up immediately.
Oh, dear. No, Mr. Spade. But it's bad luck, the Rushlight Diamond. You've heard of it?
Something about it in the American Weekly a while back, wasn't there?
Yes. It's not as large as the Hope Diamond, but there's not a flaw in it. My late husband, Roy Rushlight, bought it for his first wife. She sank with the SS General Slocum in Hellgate, the East River, 1904, over 1,000 lives lost. Luckily, she was wearing a paste copy at the time. I was only a young girl when I married Mr. Rushlight, and fool that I was, I signed anything his lawyers asked me to sign. After his death, I discovered that the diamond was to be mine, only until the marriage of my husband's male heir, at which time it must go to his bride.
Well, that's too bad. You say, though, that the Rushlight Diamond is bad luck.
Oh, there's that, of course. I wonder if it's too much to hope. Well, I must go and help dress the bride. Go along downstairs, Miss Spade. Take this jewel case with you. Put it on the table with the other presents and guard it well.
So I took the old velvet-covered case you held out to me and checked the contents. It was an old-fashioned lavalier with a clear stone pendant, only slightly smaller than an eight ball. Didn't look like a diamond, but smooth-cut diamonds hardly ever do. It didn't look like bad luck either, but a mirror broke in the hall as I passed it, then I fell all the way down the stairs, and as I entered the ballroom, I knocked over a punch bowl. Nothing really terrible happened until just before dark when the guests began to arrive. In theory, a detective guarding wedding presents is supposed to make himself indistinguishable from the other guests. In practice, it never works out that way. He has to spend most of his time within sight of a booty, so he is very easily spotted.
I don't believe it. He's too good looking.
Oh, but he must be. Not anybody we know.
Well, ask him. It's leap year.
Oh, here comes Colonel Bixby. He'll know.
Well, well, well. Beauty gathered round the booty, eh? And much more beauty than booty, though.
Yeah. Say, when are they going to hang the diamond on that drip?
No, no, there's no way to talk about the blushing bride.
Is that it in the crummy old case there?
That case is heirloom, young lady. The stone that reposes in it is worth a king's ransom. Now take your grubby hands elsewhere.
Oh.
Get out with you. Go on.
Well, just because he's going to give the bride away, he thinks he can order everyone around.
Mr. Spade, allow me to congratulate you, sir. These affairs, one all too often sees the detective on guard duty at the punch bowl.
I was forewarned.
Oh, it's very bad champagne. Flat. I'll be glad when these ill-starred nuptials are consummated. And by the way, Bixby's my name, Colonel Lysander Bixby.
Colonel?
It is my melancholy and thankless duty to give the bride away to the hapless groom, Ralph Rushlight. However, it's much better to give than to receive. You tell that to May Rushlight, eh? Yeah. Quite a trinket.
Mustn't touch. Grubby hands, remember?
Oh, sense of humor as well as sense of duty, eh? Candidly, if I knew a place to fence it, I'd be the...
Colonel Bixby.
Oh, Miss Ward. Ah, how lovely you look. Poor Ralph.
Mrs. Rushlight asked me to warn you to get ready. The bride will be down any moment.
Oh, good grief. Well, I suppose I must steel myself. Where did I leave my glass?
Keep your eye on that old goat, Mr. Spade. I don't trust him.
Who is he?
He's the only one here who knows why this wedding's happening. It's the bride's foster father.
You mean he's got something on the family?
You'll never know how much until you kiss the bride.
Look, Nancy, it's none of my business, but I...
Oh, it's starting. I'll have to go in now.
Now, wait.
What?
How does it go? Speak now or forever hold your peace?
No, I can't do that. Thank you for understanding.
I didn't witness the ceremony, but judging from the mood of those who had, it was just as well I didn't. They shuffled back into the ballroom, looking as if they'd witnessed an execution, and nobody seemed to be in a hurry to join the receiving line. After a few half-hearted handshakes, the groom left the bride standing alone, looking kind of bewildered, and came over to take inventory of the presents.
Look at that junk. I'm Ralph Rushlight. Who are you?
Spade. I was hired to guard this junk, as you call it. Sorry I'm wasting my time.
A Rushlight dime. Bad luck. Look at what it did for me. Look at her. Did you ever say anything?
Keep it to yourself.
Why should I?
Because I'm liable to slap you clear across this room.
Haven't I been punished enough?
Go on, scram. Keep your hooks off that necklace.
That's mine.
I heard it's your wife's.
Come along,
well, you heard
here.
Wrong.
Come along over here. Oh, Mr. Spade, you haven't met the bride yet, have you?
No.
Thank you.
I wish you a lot of luck, Mrs. Rushlight. You're going to need it.
Thank you.
Well, I suppose now as well as any time, Colonel.
Oh, very well, my dear. Quiet, please. Quiet, everyone. Mrs. Rushlight, the elder Mrs. Rushlight, that is, has something to say to you.
Mr. Spade.
Yes?
The necklace, will you please hand it to me?
With pleasure. I'm tired of looking at it.
Oh, you're not done yet. Stay close by my side. Dear friends, at this solemn moment, I want, first of all, to welcome this dear little girl into the Rushlight family.
Thank you.
Yes. And now, dear Lotta, I will place around your neck the gem which was my heritage when I became a Rushlight and which is now yours.
Thank you.
Well, what's wrong? Lotta, come back here. Lotta!
I'll go out to the carport and hit her off.
Oh, you leave her alone. I'll take care.
Whose wife is she anyhow? Lotta, come back here. Lotta, bring it back.
Ashamed of joining the chase, but I had to because I'd been hired to guard the Rushlight diamond, and for my money, the best way to do that was to help her get away. Somebody got to her before I did. A strip of wedding gown satin marked the spot, The body lay crumpled under a hedge, but it wasn't the bride's body. It was the groom. He'd been stabbed to death with a pair of garden shears, which made sense. But what didn't make sense was that the necklace she'd been wearing was still clutched in his hand.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade. If you want the well-groomed look that helps you get ahead socially and on the job, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, how does Wild Root Cream Oil compare with the hair tonic you previously used? Better than 4 out of 5 who replied said they preferred Wild Root Cream Oil. And no wonder. Wild Root Cream Oil grooms the hair neatly and naturally, relieves annoying dryness, and removes loose dandruff. What's more, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil is the only leading hair tonic that contains soothing lanolin. So ask for Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. By the way, smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil too, and mothers say it's grand for training children's hair. And now, back to the Rushlight Diamond Caper. Tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
Number 21A Granite Court was teeming with motives and suspects. But the police were primarily interested in locating Lotta, the missing bride and widow of Ralph Rushlight. So was I. She looked like less work than the rest of you, because if she had killed him, it was self-defense, if she knew enough English. By 10 in the a.m., when I checked in at my office, she was still successfully eluding the police dragnet. That was because nobody, including me, had thought of looking in my office. Wow. Good morning.
Thank you.
Is that all the English you know?
Thank you, no. I want my necklace.
The police have it.
You go with me and tell them who I am.
Okay, but first I have to know who you are. Where you came from, what your connection with Colonel Bixby is.
I am in Macassar being born.
In Macassar?
Dutch colony.
Uh-huh.
My father there 7 years ago dying is, when I 13 years old have arrived.
I see.
Colonel Bixby in San Francisco, the financial representative for my father was. I am adopted to him, not for a father, but so he takes care of my monies, which coming of age am I a rich Dutch woman.
Uh-huh. But legally, he's your foster father.
Yeah. Also legally, I'm the wife of Rushlight. I want my necklace.
You married him for the necklace?
Yeah.
Why did he marry you?
For one half of necklace when we sell. But all everything to take he wishes.
You and Ralph are going to divvy the take from the Rushlight diamond, you thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was the colonel going to get?
Money for Mrs. Rushlight.
Oh, now, wait. That doesn't make sense. Mrs. Rushlight stood to lose a small fortune by that marriage. Why should she pay the colonel to promote it?
You the detective are.
You said that.
Where my necklace are. That I say.
Yeah, well, look, I'm not as sure as I was. Wait just a minute. I'll check on it.
Homicide, Lieutenant Dundee.
Spade, Dundee.
Oh, yes, Sam.
What's new on the Rushlight caper?
Oh, you know I can't talk about the case, Sam.
Oh? I got a line on that girl.
Oh? Well, where is she?
You know I can't talk about that, Dundee.
Oh, you can't you? Well, let's see if this doesn't change your mind. The necklace we found on Rushlight's body was a phony, a paste copy.
Uh-huh. Does that make her guiltier than she was before?
Well, now she's got a motive. Throws all our previous theories into a cocked hat. Now, where's the girl?
She's in my office, Lieutenant, dear. Come and get her.
Thank you.
You, Sam. Back again?
Yeah, do you mind?
Well, that depends on who you came to see.
You, sweetheart.
Oh.
But first, I'd like to talk to Mrs. Rushlight.
Well, she can't see anyone. She's in a state of nervous collapse over Ralph's death.
Oh, that's too bad. Mm-hmm. You seem to be holding up pretty well.
Well, I'm relieved. He's better off dead than married to that.
Yeah. Rushlight Diamond's still unlucky, you know.
What do you mean by that?
I was just trying it on for size.
Uh-huh. Does it fit?
Yeah, but you and Mrs. Rushlight are about the same size. Her nerves getting any better?
You're the doctor. If you want to see her, go ahead. She's up there.
Thank you. Mrs. Rushlight.
Go away, I'm ill.
Oh. I'm sorry to break in on you like this, but I haven't got much time.
How dare you? Nancy! Nancy! Try it, that girl. Mr. Spade, please leave me alone with my grief.
Funny thing. Yesterday, Nancy was carrying a torch for Ralph, and you were holding the torch to him. Today, it's different.
Oh, good heavens. You don't think I'm grief-stricken over Ralph.
Good. That's one less mystery.
Mr. Spade, what do you want?
Your nephew's killer.
Oh, does it matter?
It does to me. Somebody getting knocked off right under my nose is bad for private detectives everywhere.
Oh. For a moment, I thought that... Say, wouldn't you rather make some more money?
I refuse to marry Lotta.
Oh, no, nothing like that. It's the necklace, Mr. Spade, the genuine.
What is?
I don't know. All I know is the other one isn't.
Who told you that?
Well, the police know. It's in the papers, isn't it?
Not yet.
Well, how else would I learn?
The murderer is the only one who could have told you, unless you're the murderer.
I see. Very well, Mr. Spade. I'll tell you what I know. I'm not as wealthy as you might think. In fact, I have for 4 years lived from pillar to post, from hand to mouth, ragtag and bobtail, struggling to make ends meet.
What you mean is you're eking out a meager existence, keeping your head above water, one jump ahead of the sheriff, stalked by the grim specter of poverty. Is that right?
Oh, how well you put it. In fact, Mr. Spade, I'm something of a crook. I've borrowed large sums of money from Colonel Bixby, putting up as collateral something that was not mine to forfeit.
Don't tell me. Let me guess. It was the Rushlight diamond?
Well, you seem to know everything.
All but one thing. Why did you think you could palm off a paste copy on an operator like Bixby?
He sent you here. I won't tell you another single thing.
Well, then I'll tell you a few things. The only way the Rushlight diamond could be transferred legally into the hands of Colonel Bixby was by tricking Ralph into marriage with Lotta, since Ralph's wife automatically became the legal owner. With Ralph dead, Bixby would be in line to inherit the diamond from her.
Inherit?
California state law. Foster parent may inherit from a foster child in absence of any direct heir.
Well, why, then he planned. He'd kill her, too. Mr. Spade, we must stop him.
She's safe for the time being. I had her thrown into the pokey. They can hold her 48 hours for questioning, but they can hold you longer. They can even hold you as an accessory before the fact.
Why? Why, I didn't know he was going to kill anyone.
Lotta was just going to hand over $1 million diamond to Bixby out of the kindness of her heart?
Oh, no. Lotta wanted to become an American citizen. Marriage is the quickest way. For her, Ralph was the only way.
Okay, I'll buy that. Now, tell me honestly, Mrs. Rushlight, what happened to the genuine stone?
I honestly didn't know. I wasn't sure. But now there can be only one answer.
Nancy, with the laughing face?
She went with me when I went to the bank vault to get the Rushlight diamond to present to Lotta after the ceremony.
Uh-huh.
She looked after all my jewels, including the paste copy that I habitually wore.
Homicide, Lieutenant Dundee.
Spade again, Dundee. I think I got the Rushlight caper all wrapped up. I'm heading for your office now, so wait for me. And whatever you do, don't let that Lotta dame out of your sight. Thank you. Goodbye.
Wait a minute, Sam. Wait a minute.
Yeah?
The Lotta dame. She's already gone.
Escaped?
Bailed out. Custody of her foster father. Wait a minute. I got the name here, sir.
Bixby. He's a colonel, and no wonder you're only a lieutenant.
Mr. Spade, can't you stay for tea?
Not thirsty. Nancy? Nancy, where are you?
Oh, here I am, Sam. I was waiting for you.
You got the keys to that car out in front?
Why, yes. You want to borrow it?
Yes, with you in it.
Why, Sam, wait till I put my face on.
Let it go. It's as good as lost anyway. Come on.
What is this place? Taking me.
Never mind. Just hang on. I'll fly you up to the second floor.
Sam, that was a shot that sounded like Lotta.
You stay here. Don't come in until I call you.
Spade, what are
you
doing?
Get back in there. Drop it.
No.
Drop it or I'll crack your elbow. That's better. Now sit down. I want to look this over. Looks real cute. Powder burns, gun beside the chair, and what's this? Well, well, well. A note in Dutch.
It's a suicide note. She killed herself.
I can almost believe that. You've handled this very well, considering the bad breaks you've had. Only one thing wrong.
Do I scent a bargain?
I don't have to bargain. I've got the diamond. All you've got is two murders rapping on your thick noggin.
Don't be absurd. I know who has the real necklace.
Then you better talk to her directly. You can come in now.
Sam, was that... Oh, that poor, homely little dame. What did she ever
do? Stop. You're breaking my heart. She committed suicide.
You know better than that.
She committed suicide, if the Colonel's price is right.
Oh.
I'll put it to you directly. It's not easy to fence. It'll have to be cut. That'll decrease the value considerably. Say, $10,000, no questions asked.
Pardon me, that suicide shot, it's ringing in my ears. I can't hear you.
$20,000. $50,000. All right, $100,000.
Sam, don't be a fool. Take it.
I'll give you a real break, Colonel. That's the cops coming after you.
Anything, Spade. What do you want me to do?
I want you to try and get out of here.
What are you going to do?
There's the door. Go ahead.
All right.
Thank you, Colonel.
All right, men, remember, he's desperate. Bixby, we're giving you a chance. Come down or we're coming up after you.
Come on. Come on, get up, Colonel.
Here he comes. Careful, it may be a trick.
Watch it, Dundee. Here he comes. And that, Mrs. Rushlight, is the crop. For a man that went down fighting, Colonel Bixby didn't need much persuading once they got him under the lights down at headquarters. He confessed to everything, and the murders weren't the worst of it, the way I figure. The worst of it was the cruel way he victimized the poor little ugly duckling, Lotta Van Eyck. It's tough enough to be whipped before you start. Period. End of report.
My goodness, that was Louie Tristay. I'm beginning to see why Effie gets so repressed sometimes.
Effie, depressed? That little doll told you that?
Only between she and I and the lamppost. She's so sensitive, you know. Not like I, of course. I invariably cry at weddings.
You don't say, Bernadine. You attend weddings often? Hmm?
With high frequency, Mr. Spade.
You mean frequently?
No, no. The last time it was FM. You know, frequency moderation.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Moderation in all things, I always say. You mean you attend radio weddings?
Oh, yeah. I've been married 6 times. My next date is television.
You've been married 6 times?
Well, to each his own, Mr. Spade.
You mean 6 men have...
Oh, no. No, I only marry my husband. Repetition is the spice of variety, I always say.
Is that legal?
If it's not after 6 weddings, what isn't?
To each his own, as you say.
Well, we don't presume to make a career out of it. As soon as we get the mangler and the deep freeze, we're going on our honeymoon.
Well, congratulations, and type this up when you have the time. Mrs. Bernadine Hemp.
Every day, more and more men are turning to Wild Root Cream Oil for truly handsome hair. And that's not surprising, for what other leading hair tonic gives you these big advantages? It grooms the hair neatly and naturally, relieves dryness, removes loose dandruff. What's more, Wild Root Cream Oil is non-alcoholic and contains soothing lanolin. No wonder Wild Root Cream Oil is the favorite with so many millions of smart, particular men. Get Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Well, here it is, Mr. Spade. I'm sorry it took so long, but I kept relaxing into Spanish.
That's not hard.
And Effie's typewriter doesn't have any upside-down question marks.
Upside down. Mm-hmm. Take a memo. Call typewriter man.
I already have. Oh, I almost forgot. You received a telegramic commutation.
A telegramic what?
A wire.
Oh, a wire. Well, open it and read it. In English, por favor.
It says, Dear Sam.
Figures.
In the haste of my departure, I neglected to warn you about Well, when I do that one another favor, she'll have silver threads.
Who?
That ball of fire whom I'm taking the place of in order to be double-crossed of by...
Effie? Is she still in far-off Canab?
And good rubbish, if you'll pardon the expression.
Now, Bernadine, let me see that. I neglected to warn you about Bernadine. I'm sending the Tales airmail special, but in the meantime, whatever you do, don't go to any radio broadcasts with her, and if she comes to work in a wedding gown, take the day off. Love, Effie.
And I had 2 tickets for honeymoon payoff, and now she went and spoiled everything.
Oh, now there, Bernadine. You just have to marry your husband again, that's all. I wouldn't have had the time anyway.
I know. It's just the principle. Good night, Mr. Spade.
Good night. Buenas noches. Hasta la vista. Effie, why did you ever leave me?
Hi, everyone. I know you've been hearing me talk about how much I enjoy BritBox. It's the streaming home of the best British TV, with exclusive mysteries, crime dramas, documentaries, and more. I especially enjoy mysteries like Agatha Christie's Poirot and Father Brown. I just enjoyed his story, The Thief, His Wife, and the Canoe. Great story. My daughter has always been a huge Cary Grant fan, and BritBox has a new original called Archie, which stars Jason Isaacs as Archie Leach, the man who became Cary Grant. This is the first time that his story has been told in collaboration with Grant's daughter Jennifer Grant and his ex-wife Diane Cannon. Story and cast all from BritBox, and it's top-notch entertainment, and only on BritBox. Sign up for BritBox today to stream Archie and other fan favorites from any device. I have a special limited-time offer for my U.S. and Canadian fans. Get 50% off your first month when you sign up for a monthly plan, but only if you go to BritBox.com and use my promo code 1001STORIES at checkout. That's 1001STORIES at checkout. Don't wait. Get 50% off your first month. Use promo code 1001STORIES at BritBox.com. You'll be glad you did.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective. Brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic, the non-alcoholic hair tonic that contains lanolin. Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. Bernadine, anything wrong? You sound almost human.
It's not Bernadine, Sam. It's me, Effie.
Eff!
But I'll tell Bernadine about your compliment. How are things?
Well, I've made out as best I could. I don't want you to think that I begrudged you a vacation. After all, you have worked hard. You did deserve it.
Sam Spade, is that all you have to say to me?
I'm not putting the blame on you. After all, it is a state law, so I can hardly accuse you of letting me down at a time when I needed you most.
Well, you might at least ask me if I had a good time.
I'm sorry if your conscience bothered you.
Oh, well, it didn't. I had a divine time, and I met all sorts of interesting people. Mostly men.
You don't say. What else?
Well, it was this desert ranch, you know, with a lot of buttes around.
You mentioned those.
No, Sam, no. They're the result of erosion.
Those outdoor types, they go to pieces.
Sam, are you pulling my leg?
Not over the phone, Effie, but stay where you are. I'll be right down to look at your snapshots. And when you have the time, I'll dictate my report on the missing news hawk caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade.
presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. Wild Root Cream Oil. That's the famous name to remember, men, next time you buy hair tonic. And look what Wild Root Cream Oil does for you. It grooms your hair neatly and naturally. Wild Root Cream Oil also relieves dryness and removes loose, ugly dandruff. Yes, men, Wild Root Cream Oil is your shortcut to really handsome hair. So be smart. First chance you get Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. And now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in the adventures of Sam Spade.
Canab on Virgin River.
Canab, the Pearl of the West.
Uh-huh. And did I mention the buttes? Oh, well, they're very interesting.
The result of erosion.
Yes. And it's authentic, too. Fay Hamlin's ranch.
You mean a working ranch?
Yes. You see, that way you get into the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
My job was to feed the chickens. And that's how I met him.
One of the buttes?
Oh, Sam, he's a very cultured gentleman.
Culture smulcher. What's he do for a living?
He cures stammering.
You don't say. What's his name?
Charlie Shank.
Charlie Shank?
He's the founder of the Shank Institute of Articulative Correction, which I should learn.
Articulative Correction. Where is this institute?
Oh, I have the address here. General Delivery, Butte, Montana.
Mm-hmm. You're sure you didn't help him break parole, Evie?
Oh, no. We just went on long walks together.
Where to?
Oh, different points of interest. Like Wolf Canyon.
Figures.
Uh-huh. He invited me on this camping ship, a trip. Honorable, of course.
Mm.
But I couldn't go on account of my sunburn. Oh, an awful, awful.
Oh,
I still got it, you see. Mm. And then he went back to Butte. He had to leave in such a hurry, he couldn't even say goodbye.
Wow.
It was a pity, too, because an old friend he hadn't seen in years came looking for him just a few minutes later.
With a warrant?
No, he was an attendant in a nearby hospital.
Mental?
Oh, yes. Very intelligent. He read me some of his poetry. Maybe you've heard it. A loaf of bread, a jug of wine, and thou.
Yeah, wait a minute. Isn't that the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam that was written by a guy named Fitzgerald?
Well, of course. That's his pen name.
Quite a penman.
Yes, but he's paid his debt to society. And the other time it was a bad beef.
Oh, naturally.
He told me all about
it.
He cried on my shoulder afterwards.
Sweetheart, when you make a mistake, it's a beaut.
Sam, nothing happened.
Well, I'm glad he cures you of stammering anyhow. Ready?
Oh, yeah. I've got a brand new notebook.
Work, you know. Life goes on.
I've got a brand new notebook, Sam. I'll just turn over a new leaf.
Not a bad idea, dear. July 18 to Mr. Alex M. Youngblood. Try that again. Mr. Alex M. Youngblood, P.O., Box 317, San Francisco, from Samuel Spade, license number 127596. Dear Mr. Youngblood, I need a vacation myself.
You need Charlie Shanks. Sounds hard, Sam.
Fortunately, until I met you, my only experience with any of the men and women who make your newspaper run had been with one of your corner newsboys who shortchanged me 2 times within as many days. I have not read your rag since. But your name looked imposing, and so did the $300 check upon which you had written it. Per your instructions, promptly at 4 p.m. on the 15th inst, I must through the litter of your city room toward a door marked A.M. Youngblood, publisher, managing editor, and city editor. I wondered if you were ambitious, frugal, or three men. I did not know that you had good taste until I saw the trim, 20-ish, and toothsome secretary in your outer office.
Hello. You're new here, aren't you?
Well, I'm not exactly here. I'm just here to see Mr. Youngblood.
Oh.
The name is Spade.
Samuel Spade?
Sam, except for my most intimate friend.
Well, my advice to you, Sam, is to beat a hasty retreat. He's in a foul mood.
Oh? Why? Is he blind or older than he feels? I refer, of course, to your spectacular charm, Miss, if I may call you Miss.
Please, this is neither the time nor the place. My name is Phyllis Watson, and my phone number is in the directory, if you're really interested.
I could be.
Thank you. And if a man answers, tell him you're my French teacher.
Oui.
You better go in now. If you're late to an appointment with him, you're through.
Do you have any more words of wisdom?
No, but I hope you can do something to improve his state of mind. He's been awful lately. Good luck, Sam.
Thank you, Phyllis Watson.
Come in. Captain, 4:01. You must be Mr. Spade.
That's right.
You're almost late. Sit down, Spade. Cigar?
No, thanks.
Well, don't expect me to offer a drink. You aren't a drinker, I hope.
You don't listen to the radio, do you?
Well, you'll not drink in this office. Nothing here but a cooler filled with water from the clean, gurgling, laughing mountain stream.
You sound like a reformed drunk, Mr. Youngblood.
What's that? Well, it was a good many years ago. If you don't mind, I'll just paste up the weather report for my morning edition before we talk.
Oh, you do that too, huh?
Yes, obviously. And with good reasons. I remind myself that I was once a copy boy, and I find it a splendid way to, at least once each day, to lower myself to the level of the working man. There we are. Very hot in Phoenix, I see.
Mm-hmm. Just what do you want a detective for, Mr. Youngblood?
I was coming to that, Mr. Spade.
Sorry.
Now, well, first let me warn you that your assignment is a highly confidential one.
They all are.
In this case, a man's life may be at stake.
Mm-hmm.
The situation, my newspaper, at my order and under my guidance, has launched a campaign against crime. Not aimed at the petty criminal, but at the easy-living leeches at the controls of the rackets. The hoods in bankers' clothing. The mansion-house parasites who direct the pickpockets, the second-story men, the housebreakers, who gamble away $500,000 a year and pay income tax.
Yes, I understand, I understand. You're after the boys on the safer side of the fences.
Nicely put, Spade, yes.
Thank you.
Well, the long and short of it is this. The author of the expose series, Ray McCulley, my top crime reporter, has been missing for 2 days. I want you to find him.
What makes you think he's still alive?
Good heavens, Spade. Why must you suggest that he isn't?
Because if I were a mansion-housed parasite in danger of being unhoused by a newshawk, I'd see said newshawk standing in a cement block in the bottom of the bay.
I will accept that only when no stone has been left unturned. Every straw and every haystack has been searched.
Nook and cranny?
Yes.
Sounds as though you need at least one police force, Mr. Youngblood. Now, why don't
Impossible. We've already had a brush with the police over the expose. I'll not be dictated to at this stage of the game. I started this investigation, and I'll finish it alone.
Well, it's a pretty big order, Mr. Youngblood, but times are tough. I'll see what I can do.
Good. I hereby turn over to you all the resources and power of this, my newspaper. When one of my reporters is in trouble or danger, sir, I will spend every penny of my fortune, if necessary, to deliver aid and succor to his side.
You then gave me Ray McCulley's expose stories to date. I saw why you, his family and friends, and his creditors could have been worried about him. They were hot. One followed a stolen car from the time of the heist through the alteration of the body color, tire brands, license number, motor serial number, to the time it was shoved onto a used car lot. They named names all the way through. And another did the same to the firm of Otter, Badger, and Mole, furriers, and alleged manufacturers of coats from clouted pelts. Ray McCulley had dropped out of sight right after that story had been published. So I left your office hoping that I'd reach the address of Otter, Badger, and Moe before closing time. I did. The plushy showroom was occupied by a dozen attractive fur-bearing models, female, but wax. The live models, male, were wearing padded shoulders, pointed shoes, and coats tailored for underarm artillery. They would have looked more natural at Madame Fassade's waxworks, Bertram the Burglar section.
Hey, oh, hey, what'll it be? Something for the little woman?
Where do I find Mr. Otter?
You the Lord?
Leo sent me.
He's in his office. Come on.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't crowd me.
You say you want to see the boss?
On business. Stop nudging me with a rod.
In there. Hey, move.
Okay, okay.
Hey, your boss.
Yes, Woody?
Here's Joe here to see you. Leo sent him.
Well, nudge him in, Woody.
No nudging, Woody.
Well, well, well. So Leo's sending a man to see me. I wonder why.
If you'll comb this character here out of my hair, I'll try and tell you.
Sit down, Woody. Mm.
Thanks.
You're new in town.
Yeah, that's why Leo sent me. A local muckraker named Ray McCulley interviewed you. He also interviewed Leo, but it didn't get printed yet. Leo wants to find him.
So do I. How can I help?
Well, he walked out of here, went to his hotel, wrote the story, and mailed it in. That's the last anybody's seen of him. Leo was just sort of hoping that you'd already taken care of him.
Not yet.
That's all I wanted to know. Thanks.
Just a moment.
Yeah?
Leo sending you out alone?
Why not?
That's a tough boy, that McCullough. He's got plenty of protection. That's what you need.
What kind of protection?
Go along with him, Woody.
Who, me?
You're Woody, aren't you?
Now, look, look, Mr. Otter, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but the way I see it, this is a lone wolf-type caper.
Hey, what's the matter? Hey, you think I'm too good for you?
Well, Woody, I wouldn't say that.
Good, it's settled then. Take care of him, Woody, and don't mix it up with any of Leo's boys. If he's out to get that rat McCullough, he's our friend.
I was beginning to wonder who Leo was. I'd grabbed the name off a calendar on the wall, Leo's Abandoned Storage. I didn't know whether he was the Leo Mr. Otter didn't like, and I hoped I wouldn't find out. The best way I could think to keep from finding out was to shake Woody. On the way uptown, I walked him past four police stations. Crossing Market Street, I pushed him straight into the arms of a traffic cop who begged his pardon and let me off with a warning. At the Blue Bottle Bar and Grill, I gave Joe, the bartender, the Mickey Finn sign, but Woody liked it. He ordered another. Then he said he knew a place on Columbus where the drinks were even better. It was called Leo's Place. I wondered if that meant anything.
Hey, you, hey.
Who, me, huh?
I want your drink. Don't you like this joint?
Yeah, sure, it's fine. We're not getting anywhere, though.
You really take your work serious. Me, when I go gun for somebody, I go where I'm least likely to succeed. You live longer.
Yeah. Woody, what do you know about this guy, McCullough?
You hear the puss. He says he's a rat.
Yeah, but he said he's got plenty of protection. Who's furnishing it?
Well, you see, there's a... Boy, oh, boy. Look at what just walked in.
I looked. What I saw was not disappointing. She was wearing a skin-tight black satin with a plunging neckline and a new look only in places where it didn't matter. But she still looked enough like your secretary, Phyllis Watson, to be out of place in Leo's place. She didn't stay there long. She made a beeline through the kitchen to the rear exit. I made a beeline right after her. Woody was breathing down my neck as I started up the rickety outside stairway at the back of the building. I stopped the landing and turned around to face him. See you later, Woody. I didn't wait to see if he made it all the way to the bottom of the stairs. I was more interested in what was going on at the top. A door had opened and Phyllis stepped inside. The man who let her in looked like Ray McCullough.
Who are you?
Well, the name is Spade.
I don't know that name.
Your boss hired me to find you.
Private Dick?
Yeah. Can I, talk to you for a minute?
Sure. Put your hands behind your neck and walk up slow.
Okay.
All right. Go inside.
Now, what's the matter? You're not acting glad to see me.
This is the guy, Phyllis.
Yes. Alex hired him this afternoon.
There, you see. Now, what do you want me to tell Youngblood?
You're not going to tell anybody anything. Oh!
It caught me right behind the ear. The last thing I saw was that plunging neckline as Phyllis rushed forward. I didn't know whether she was rushing to my rescue or to get in a few licks of her own. 5 seconds later, I didn't care. As the design of a linoleum slammed up at me, I had just time to wonder why, of all the people who were looking for Ray McCullough, I had to find him. Then I was out. Boing. Maced for my pains.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade. If you want the well-groomed look that helps you get ahead socially and on the job, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, "Primus and removes loose dandruff." What's more, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil is the only leading hair tonic that contains soothing lanolin. So ask for Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. By the way, smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil, too. And mothers say it's grand for training children's hair. And now, back to the missing news hawk caper. Tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
I was lying. lying on the floor in a room with nothing in it but a sink, an army cot, a square of dirty linoleum, and a body. I staggered to my feet, ran some cold water over my head, and took a closer look. It was Ray McCulley. He was a very dead, crusading reporter. He'd been stabbed clean through with a long-bladed kitchen knife. It sat on the handle, property of Leo's place. I went through his pockets. And his wallet, a press card, a police card, union card, and 10 genuine, crisp, new $1,000 bills. That gave me a line on the killer. He was crazy. So was I. I left it on him, too. Folded up in his vest pocket, I found two newspaper clippings, one from the Chronicle and one from your paper, both weather reports for the same date. It was very hot in Phoenix, according to both papers. But according to your weather report, the temperature in Needles, California was 135 degrees. That needled me. So did the slip of paper I found on his shoe. The number 9 and a date had been stamped on it with a rubber stamp. The date was the same as that of the weather reports. I turned it over. It said Ruthie's Booth, Manson Bowling Alley.
Mr. Panicelli.
Thanks. I'm just shopping.
I got a nice line of notions.
So have I.
No, I mean the dolls, the Hollywood dolls. You know, for the bed, only a dollar plus tax.
Very reasonable.
Say, what's on your mind?
Leo sent me.
Oh. Are you going to collect the slips hereafter?
Well, not tonight. You see, I'm sort of a troubleshooter. Leo's checking up on some of the numbers that didn't come out right.
Listen, I'll tell him to his face, I don't want any part of those wrong numbers. They're scary.
Nuts. Who bought this one?
Let me see. Oh, last Thursday. Oh, number 9. How can I forget? He put $500. And honest, if he's been around once, he's been around 100 times to see if it paid off, did it?
What's his name?
Mr. Spinelli. He buys a slip every day. And if you ask me, he's learned his system. Because he's been winning, you know. Dimes and then a dollar and then $5. And then when he come in with 500 on number 9, and he dropped dead. Did it win?
Where does he live?
It did. Wait, I'll look on the sheet. Hey, somebody else was in just this afternoon.
Give me that address. Hurry up, will you?
It's right around the corner on Manson, 810. Say, maybe that's his system, 8-1. Don't that add up to 9? Hey, what's the matter? Where are you going in such a rush?
Please, come back later. Tomorrow. Next week.
Are you Mrs. Spinelli?
Yes, please. I had so much trouble.
Is your husband home?
Oh, my poor man. They take him away. He's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. How did it happen?
Who are you?
I'm a detective. Maybe I can help you. May I come in?
All right. Come on.
Quite a while to gain her confidence, and after that, it took still quite a while to piece together the grief-sickened grumble of words that poured out of her. When I got it down in the form of a statement, I asked her to read it over. Item, statement by Mrs. Arturo Spinelli.
All the time he played those numbers, I told him they're just a bunch of gangsters. They don't let you win. Then he met this man McCulley, a writer for the newspaper. My husband says this man shows him how to win. He wins and wins. Then he goes to bank and takes out all our savings. I begged for him not to do it. But no, he was greedy. And this McCulley poisoned his mind. Sure, he won. He brought the money home in his hand. $10,000. I don't want it. I'm scared. I took it while he was sleeping with wine and gave it to the men. I tell him all I want is the 500. He tried to tell me we do good. We help catch the big gangsters. I say we don't want to do so good we get murdered in our beds. So he says, okay. But if I change mine, here is address. I don't change my mind. Because already my husband, he is dead. At home. understand? No, I don't change my mind.
She signed it, and I left her alone with her grief. I wasn't working for you anymore, Mr. Youngblood. You hired me to find your reporter, and I had. And I wished I hadn't. The rest of it I did for myself. You weren't in your office when I got there, but Phyllis was. I found her behind the city desk in the act of dropping tomorrow morning's weather report into the slot. I grabbed her out of her hand.
What? Oh, you.
Where's your boss?
At home, I guess.
We'll talk in his office. Come on.
Sam, I can explain how I have to.
You're going
to
explain plenty before I'm finished with you. Sit down.
Oh, you. I have to be so rough. What's the matter with you?
Plenty. I'm stupid. I was stupid to take this job, and I was stupid to play it cagey with you. I should have beaten the story out of you before the trouble started. It's a little late in the day now, but not too late to send you up for McCulley's murder.
Oh, you're insane. Ray McCulley was... I'm the only one who ever tried to help
you. And I'm the only one who can place you in that room, not 10 minutes before the murder.
I told you, I can explain
why... Stop trying to save your own skin. Spinelli was only one of a 500,000 poor, dumb yucks that lose their nickels and dimes and dollars every day in the policy racket. Only he had the bad luck to win. There won't be any more lucky dead people like him if I have to make a patsy out of you to stop it.
It won't stop it. Nothing will. Ray talked big and brave like you. Now he's dead.
Yeah, with $10,000 dirty money in his wallet.
I won't let you say things like that. Ray was an honest reporter, too honest. He thought Youngblood meant what he said about that cleanup campaign.
Yeah, he did. He wanted to run this town by himself, clean up his competition.
When Ray started collecting material on the numbers racket, he still thought Youngblood was on the level. But that was before he stumbled onto the thing about the weather report.
Yeah, that was a new one. The old Dutch Schultz mob used to add up the stock market quotations. If they cheated, they knew their customers weren't good enough at arithmetic to prove it. But who knows how hot it is in Phoenix unless they live there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Listen. That's how the number game works, sweetheart. The suckers pick a number from 1 to 10, see? The operators tally up the slips, and the least popular for that day has to win. The weather report doesn't have to pass through the copy desk, and with Youngblood pasting it up with a few strategic corrections, it was easy to make their winners look as if they were on the level.
Oh.
But, of course, you had no way of knowing that. You only watched them do it day after day.
You know, I couldn't understand why he did those things. It seemed silly falsifying a weather report, but it didn't seem as if it could do any harm.
What did you meet McCulley for? To get your cut of the 10 grand Spinelli was killed for?
How dare you? I went there to warn him about
Who
you.
Who killed him?
I don't know.
You're lying.
All right, I'm lying. But I can prove that Ray was on the level. I've got the proof right here. The whole story he wrote on the numbers racket, even naming Youngblood as the head of it, his own publisher. I went there to get it. I was going to take it to another newspaper.
Why didn't you?
I can't tell you that.
You don't have to. Mrs. Spinelli was confused, grief-crazed. She had to put the blame on somebody, and when she did, she got her revenge the only way she thought she could. She may have been right about that, but she killed the wrong man.
Why didn't you tell me you knew who killed Ray?
I wanted to give you a chance to tell me yourself. I'm glad you didn't. And that, Mr. Youngblood, is the crop. I'm sure you appreciate the fact that I gave the double scoop to your paper. Like Mrs. Spinelli, I have my own ideas of vengeance. Besides, it may up your circulation a little, and you can certainly use a little extra money for your defense. By the way, who's Leo? Period, end of report.
But Sam...
Yes, Debbie?
I thought Mrs. Spinelli killed Ray McCulley.
The vacation helped. You're absolutely correct. Mrs. Spinelli killed Mr. McCulley, if you'll pardon the expression.
But why did she kill her husband?
I was wrong. The vacation didn't help.
You mean she didn't?
She killed McCulley to avenge the murder of her husband.
You mean Mr. McCulley killed Mr. Spinelli?
Effie, stop. I'll go mad.
Oh, you need a vacation, Sam.
Look, type that up. The clatter of the keys may stimulate you to further cerebral activity.
I beg your pardon, Sam?
Brain work. Now, shoot.
Oh, brain work. Oh, you know best. Well, here it is, Sam. And you were absolutely right. The typing cleared my mind. It's all clear now, except for one thing.
Well, let's clear that up right away.
Why did Mrs. Spinelli kill her husband?
She did not kill her husband.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant, why did Mr. McCulley kill Mr. Spinelli?
Kelly did not kill Spinelli.
Who's Kelly?
McCulley.
McCulley's real name was Kelly?
Now, let's start all over again. Disregard everything we said up until now. Make your mind a complete blank.
All right, Sam.
In the first place, McCulley did not kill Spinelli.
That's what I said. It was his wife, wasn't it? Now, wasn't it, Sam? Oh, stop teasing me. Hey, why do you look at me like that?
Effie, Mr. Spinelli was killed by one of the policy racket hoods to get back the $10,000 he won on the numbers game.
Then how did the money get into Kelly's pocket?
McCulley's.
Why do you insist on using his alias, Sam?
Effie, that was a tip of the tongue. I mean, look, Mrs. Spinelli took it to him because she was afraid her husband might be killed for it.
Then why didn't they take the money when they killed him?
Because Mrs. Spinelli had already taken it.
Then she did kill him.
Go home, Effie.
I'm sorry I'm so irritable to you, but I thought it... Well, it's been so long since I've been here, you know, Sam,
Angel,
and I...
Angel, you're just tired. Vacations have a habit of doing that to you. After a week or two in the office, you'll be all rested up again. I'll take it.
You act as though you thought my mind were affected.
Come here.
Sam,
come.
Now don't. My sunburn.
Yeah.
Oh, it hurts.
It's nice to have you back. You look good, too. All tanned and healthy. You're roof. It's great.
I think my nose is peeling.
Well, don't pick at it.
Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade is played by Howard Duff. Loreen Tuttle is Effie. The Adventures of Sam Spade are written for radio by Bob Tallman and Gil Dowd, with musical direction by Lud Gluskin. Gil Dowd directed tonight's broadcast in William Spear's absence. Join us again next Sunday for another adventure with Sam Spade, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. This is Dick Joy reminding you to...
Get Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie. It keeps your hair in trim. You see, it's...
Thanks for joining us at Radio Days, when radio is king, your vintage radio sampler, where we bring you the very best of old-time radio twice a week. We also ask for your feedback. Let us know which shows you like best so we can bring you more episodes. All you need to do is email us at 1001storiespodcast@gmail.com and let us know, or leave a review at Radio Days at iTunes of a favorite episode and some kind words about Radio Days. We really like those reviews. We also invite you to enjoy our other shows at the 1001 Podcast Network. Those include 1001 Heroes, Legends, Histories, and Mysteries, 1001 Classic Short Stories and Tales, and 1001 Stories for the Road. We highly recommend Player.fm for Android users as an easy-to-use host for our podcasts, and of course, Apple Podcasts for Apple users. Our 1001 shows provide you with a great selection of interesting stories about history, people, and life, and we want to be your go-to place when you're looking for a story that can be shared with the family, that's interesting, and often places you on the edge of your seat. Try any of our 1001 show episodes, and you'll discover a whole new world of entertainment. And share us with a friend. This is your host, John Hagedorn. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back real soon.